The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I want to make sure that you know that tomorrow we've got two great ESPN Hockey Night matchups for you. Connor McDavid and the Oilers in Pittsburgh to take on Sid the Kid and the Pens at 7 Eastern, then out to Colorado, the Avalanche hosting the Blues. And both those games are also available on ESPN Plus. And I will tell you, on this Monday, I can't remember a time where it felt like we had more going on. The NBA playoffs and the drama, remarkable. And Legs is here and Windy and Jay Will talking basketball as well. And oh, by the way, the NFL draft is this week, and I've put together a great crew in this hour to talk about it. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are ready to roll. Let's do it. Hour number two starts now. It's time to get up with the Setting Suns. The NBA's best are on the ropes. Can they rise from the ashes in Phoenix? Meanwhile, will Brooklyn be bounced tonight? How do players this good put together something this historically horrible? We've got all the basketball answers right off the top. And then the week is here. The deals are on the table. Where are these two stars headed before the draft begins on Thursday? All that and more. We're getting up, starting right now with the surprise of the night. If you didn't stay up late, here's what you missed. Chris Paul, he's looking good. He's looking confident, Legs, walking into the arena in New Orleans despite no Devin Booker. They're looking to go up 3-1, but Brandon Ingram had other ideas.
Are you kidding me? Is that the closest we've seen to the Doc move in the NBA Finals against the Lakers?
Ingram
is the length of that.
Special. And look, they were not having it with Chris Paul either. Herbert Jones slamming him down.
Yeah, and look, they're getting up into him. And right now, they sense a Phoenix Suns team shorthanded, missing Devin Booker. They're not going to back down.
And Ingram is emerging as a genuine star. He had 30. New Orleans up 10 after 3. Fourth quarter, look at Chris Paul trying to bring it up and being hounded by Jose Alvarado.
This does not look fun. It reminds me of trying to bring a ball up against Muggsy Bowes back in the day. I would just throw it ahead to somebody else. Alvarado gets into him. Chris Paul wasn't expecting him to be right there. This guy's a game changer defensively.
Yeah, and look, they're playing great defense. This is Chris Paul's frustrated. He's going to get a flagrant here, and then he's going to get the ball stolen as we continue. Chris Paul, who's been great in this series, really struggling.
How many times are you going to see a defender come up the left side of someone from behind and take the ball to their right hand? That's how quick Alvarado is, and clearly frustrating Chris Paul, and nobody's more frustrated than Devin Booker that he's not out there to help.
Paul had 4 points and 3 turnovers in this game, and our Brian Windhorst was there to watch it in the arena. Gets up early with us from New Orleans today. Wendy, what are you seeing here in the Suns? It's hard to imagine after the season they've had that I'm asking you, are they in trouble in this first round matchup?
Yeah, I think the defining moment of the night, Greeny, was Jose Alvarado, who wasn't even in the NBA a couple of months ago, going up and hugging Birdman at the buzzer, and Birdman putting some respect on his name. It was quite an emotional moment. Really, the Suns missed Devin Booker very badly. He's the centerpiece of their offense, obviously, and the Pelicans have switched their defensive strategy on Chris Paul. They double-teamed him in the fourth quarter last night and said, somebody else is going to beat us. Chris Paul was scoreless in the fourth after scoring 19 in the fourth in game three. The Suns got to come up with a counter because Devin Booker is still no timetable for his return.
Legs, I mean, I can't even believe I'm asking you this question. Could they get knocked out in the first round?
They definitely could. I mean, you're talking about missing 26 to 30 points every single night out of your lineup, right? And more importantly to me, having another play creator, because Chris Paul's all they have now. That's a big deal when you start to load up on him, pick him up full court, wear him down, and you're asking him to not only go out there, facilitate offense and create things for other people. Oh, but by the way, CP3, can you go get 30 for us? Because we're going to need that as well. New Orleans knows that. They're going to target him now going forward and make other guys create plays off the dribble when they're not that comfortable doing it. So to answer your question, are they in trouble? Yes. Does it mean that they're going to lose this series? Listen, they got 2 out of 3 at home. They're the number one seed in the league. They're going to get a great infusion of energy when they go back home. I still think the Suns win this series, but look, it's a precarious situation they're finding themselves in against a young team that feels really good about themselves.
In games 2 and 3, Chris Paul had 28 assists and 0 turnovers. Last night he had 4 points and three turnovers. We'll see where they go. But the biggest story in the sport, of course, is in Brooklyn, as the Nets are on the brink of elimination. Game four of that series is tonight after the Celtics just stifled Kevin Durant in game three. He has been shut down completely in this series. We're looking at Kevin Durant struggling massively in this series. In the three games of this series, he has 19 made field goals and 17 turnovers. This is one of the great offensive players of all time. He's been taken completely out of his game. Kyrie Irving, meanwhile, not much better. He was 0-for-7 from three-point range, tied for the most attempts without a make in his entire NBA career. He made just one shot in the fourth quarter for the second straight game. And then adding injury to insult, Woj telling us that with Ben Simmons out for tonight, the team is surprised and disappointed. And that's nothing compared to the reaction Stephen A. had when I asked him about it yesterday.
The fact of the matter is that there's always an excuse. And in the end, what it comes down to is the Brooklyn Nets are not better because of him. The Philadelphia 76ers were not better because of him. The LSU Tigers in college were not better than him. Who's he going to quit on next? And then on top of it all, you file a grievance to get $20 million of your money back, knowing you didn't play one damn second. This is a travesty. And when a collective bargaining agreement comes into play, when the negotiations rather come into play, and the owners are sitting across the table from these players, they're going to have a pay-for-play stipulation in that contract if they can pull it off. And you know what it's going to be named? It's going to be named the Ben Simmons rule. You're going to have a separate rule for Kyrie Irving. You're going to have a separate rule for Ben Simmons. And they will deserve it, because at some point in time, you are hurting the product when you don't want to show up and play. I'm done with this. I'm done with all of these rationales for Ben Simmons. It's sickening.
So here's the thing about it, Wendy, and I know that he says he's hurt, and that is the reality of it. But you know as well as I do that to have players, current and former players, genuinely questioning and willing to put their names to it, the idea that he's really too hurt to play and suggesting that he really just doesn't want to play for whatever reasons, that doesn't happen in the sport particularly often. So what does it mean? Where are we now with Ben Simmons?
Yeah, Ben Simmons is absolutely not a sympathetic character. He is not going to get the benefit of the doubt because of the decisions that he has made during this season. And when you hear this, your immediate reaction is he just doesn't want to play in a series that's 3-0. I'll be honest with you, that was my first reaction. When I checked it out and talked to people involved, they were exasperated, Greeny. They were just like, he woke up and his back hurt and he wasn't able to play. And there wasn't much more to say. They pretty much are waving the white flag on this one. It's extraordinarily disappointing, because even though the Nets were down 3-0, they were clinging to the reality that games 1 and 2 were razor thin. And getting Simmons back, even if it was just for 15 minutes a night, they were hoping would be a difference maker. And to believe that was happening for 5 or 6 days with really good optimism from Ben himself, and have that ripped away, extremely upsetting.
And legs, to sort of tie it together in the bigger picture with them. Again, and you're a former player, you know what these words mean. I've got people on our shows, Jalen Rose and others over the weekend, saying, using terms like tapped out, quit, that kind of stuff. Not Simmons now. I'm talking about the Nets and Durant, Kevin Durant of all people. I mean, that is criticism that goes beyond what we usually hear for an NBA team.
I mean, they definitely look fried, and they ran into the worst team they could have run into in this situation, right? So you're talking about two guys that barely played together all season, two elite offensive talents, not a great roster, a supporting cast around them, and you're going to go play the number one defensive team in the league, who, by the way, also has a superstar that's playing his best basketball of his career. This is the worst-case scenario for the Brooklyn Nets to have to play this team. And what that does, over a period of 1, 2, 3 games, you start to look like you are those words, those expressions, tapped out, fried, tired, just done. That's what it looks like when you watch them. I think there's more there for Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is not going to end his season the way he has looked, in my opinion. He's going to come out and play very well in game four, and I think it's going to come down to just being aggressive at the time he catches it and trying to go out there, be dominant, use their physicality against them to try to get to the line, get into the bonus, find something early in the game to find your rhythm. The bottom line is they're playing a better team. That's the thing. A better defense. Jason Tatum has, I said before the series, he can take a seat at the table if he outplays him. The biggest moment of his career was this series against that player, and he's done it three consecutive games. This is what the Nets are facing. They're probably going to go home in four, but I think Kevin Durant will have something there and play pretty well in that game. The bottom line is this has been a disastrous season, and this is what you get when you don't prioritize a regular season. This is what you get when you run into a team this good playing this well, that's this good defensively, when you did not care about the regular season and you just kept falling into that trap of, well, let's just get guys healthy at the right time and we'll be okay because we've got that much talent. Not against this particular team.
Man, Wendy, you're there in the arena last night, so you're talking obviously with a lot of people and you had the day to make all your phone calls and everything else. What are you hearing from people around the league about not just Durant, but what we have seen from the Nets, particularly Saturday night?
It's considering what happened to the Lakers this year, the Lakers and the Nets being in this situation is just a complete failure at the highest level. Two of the biggest failures we've seen in the last 20 years. And here I'm at this game last night where you have the New Orleans Pelicans, who have a 36-win team, which who are in position to pull off an upset. A 36-win team hasn't won a series since 1976. And you cross that with the, and that's a team that's missing one of its best players. And you cross that with the talent that the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers had and what their seasons are facing, it is just an incredible collapse by two teams we thought were going to be playing in June.
Absolutely. And you look at some of the players involved in that. I'm not going to start distilling it to that. But Brandon Ingram was selected one pick after Ben Simmons. And there were a lot of people at the time saying they should take Ingram ahead of Simmons because, A, he's a better player. He has a more complete and well-rounded game. And, B, he actually wants to play and loves the game. And to circle it all the way back to that, that, I think, is what people are asking about Simmons today.
They definitely are. And, look, the one thing I'll say about the Lakers situation, at least they did get a win with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. They did win a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at this disaster that this has become over the last two seasons, combination of injuries, poor roster construction, and then in the case of Ben Simmons, you know, a guy that's just dealing with all kinds of stuff that clearly does not want to be a part of what you are doing, at least right now. I think Ben Simmons, best thing he could do, and this, I blame the Nets for this, for even opening the door that this was possible, so this is talked about as much as it's been, they should have told Ben Simmons, you're around him every day, you're talking to this guy, you're watching him, you can't tell this guy's not ready to play basketball. So at some point, you go to him and say, listen, it's in your best interest, it's in our best interest, to let's just think about next season. We're going to get you to the summer, we're going to get you right physically, get you right mentally, get you around our guys so you feel more incorporated in that locker room, and you come in October ready to go and help us from day one because we think you're a very valuable piece that can help us win a championship. That's the conversation that should have been had. They should know enough to be around him to see where he's at mentally in terms of how close he is to playing. They should have known it. The fact that they opened the door to all of this, I'm not surprised that he's not playing. I just think the Nets should have shut this down because they have a better feel than any of us because they're around him every single day to get an idea for how close this guy is to playing.
If there's one thing at this point I think I do not trust in any circumstance, it is the feel of anyone involved with the Brooklyn Nets, to be completely honest with you. Wendy, you're the best. Thank you for getting up early in New Orleans this morning. As we continue in a moment, oh, by the way, it's the NFL draft this week, and there are superstars that might be on the move. Is this one about to get his trade wish? What is the best fit for Debo? We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Baker Mayfield. Will we finally see the end of the saga in Cleveland? One member of our crew says he could be the steal of draft week, and another member of our crew is ready to roll. Oh, the big swag! Goo is ready to go live. Marcus joins the party next as we get up with you on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We are back during this busiest sports week of the year. The NFL draft is 3 days away. Let's make bold predictions. Dan Orlovsky, give me one.
Say that the Dallas Cowboys, Marcus Spears, Dallas Cowboys, trade back up into the first round to select Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. Jerry Jones and the Arkansas Ties. This is a young man that's 6'3", 220, averaged 16 yards per catch in the SEC. You can do whatever you want with him. We talked a little bit about Deebo Samuel. He's going to be that version.
I love him. Marcus, give me a bold prediction.
Yeah, I got a real bold one for you. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Derek Stingley, first overall.
Ooh, wow.
I know we're talking about Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker, but this dude, talent, is going to make some people nervous and hope that they haven't passed up on a generational defensive back for years to come in the NFL. We shall see.
I'm actually with you. Maybe somebody should do that. How about you, Jeff? How about Deebo Samuel?
Greeny, nobody loves juice more than you do, and I want to give you some juice on draft night. I want the 49ers to trade Deebo Samuel while the first round is going on to a team where they can target a player that they want. That's the juice you need. I have no idea if it's going to happen. But for you, Greeny, I want it to happen.
Well, that team could be the Jets at number 10. And by the way, I just want to show everybody, Deebo Samuel kind of chimed in on this conversation over the weekend, right? So this video comes out. There's at a club someone saying, hey, Deebo is staying put. And Debo's there, and he's saying, no, I'm not. So for whatever that's worth, and I guess it's probably not, nothing could be less official than that, but that's Deebo kind of sort of shutting down that conversation. Swagoo, what jumps out to you? We haven't had you at this morning. What is your number one takeaway on this whole Deebo Samuel situation?
So much. It's so much to take away, G. Good to see y'all. First of all, let me apologize for my voice. I was at volleyball this weekend.
Now you sound good.
One of them did win the championship. So, yeah, we won. We won.
Good.
We won. Right. Yes, we did.
Go and you ball. Sound good.
Okay, let me get the Deebo. All right, thank you. Let me get the Deebo, man. This is so confusing and also so exciting. So many receivers available in this draft. But a guy that's already proven and you know you can use him in multiple ways to add elements to your offense that you may not have right now or that don't exist. And with the ball in his hands, you are not asking your quarterback to throw the ball 60, 70 yards downfield or 50 yards downfield to Deebo Samuel. You are creating offensive plays and possessions to get him to rock. There are a plethora of teams that need his services. And then, too, when you think about his ability to play out of the backfield and create matchup nightmares, I listen to Dan Orlovsky all season long. Tell people, we are not giving Deebo Samuel enough credit. Deebo Samuel needs to be a guy in the conversation for one of the elite receivers in the NFL. He needs to be in the conversation for one of the elite playmakers in the NFL. I know everybody's talking about trade compensation. Everybody's talking about salary. He has proven that there is not many like him in the NFL, and someone, I'm with Jeff Dort, someone either on draft day or someone that doesn't get their way during draft day will become hungry and starving, and we will see Deebo traded and San Fran get some compensation for him.
But so, Danny, why do you have questions?
I don't have questions. Here's my thing. Why does he want out of San Francisco, Greeny? That's my question. You know, he's got such a good thing going. He's one of the best offensive minds in football, so Kyle Shanahan. So is it because he doesn't want to live in California? Is it because he doesn't want to play with Trey Lance, who looks to be their future quarterback? I have no idea. Or we've seen the reports he doesn't want to be used the way that Kyle has used him when it comes to throwing him the football, getting him used in the screen game, handing the ball off. I don't buy that. Because here's the way I would look at it if I was Deebo Samuel. I will play whatever you want me to because you're going to pay me whatever I want you to pay me. That's the thing. The 49ers basically get to get two players in one, maybe three players in one. He could play tight end, wide receiver, and tailback. So why would Deebo not want to capitalize on the amount of worth that he brings to a team because he's going to demand so much payment from them because he fills so many of those roster spots? Because the reality for me would be this, Greeny. If I was a team and I'm calling the San Francisco 49ers and they tell me, well, he's mad at the way we use him and he doesn't want to be used in that way, that lessens how much I'm going to give up for him. That lessens how much I'm going to pay him. Because I believe he's one of the elite playmakers and talents in the NFL. I do not believe he's one of the elite receivers in the NFL.
Quickly, is this a money thing? I mean, Marcus, I'm coming back to you. But, Jeff, is it about the money? Because I felt the same way. If they're going to pay him, you know, Devontae Adams money, then I would see him saying, okay, I'll run the ball if you sure. want to, but if they're not going to pay him that, then I can see him hesitating. Why is this happening?
It's not a money thing yet because the negotiations haven't even really commenced. It's just very clear that Debo, as he told me, wants out of San Francisco. And I know people are trying to wrap their heads around why that would be, but it simply just is. And look, the problem here for the 49ers is that they want to get top value for a player they don't want to lose. So even if we don't compare him on the field to Tyreek Hill, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, the 49ers are still wanting to get that type of compensation, which is a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and then two more picks next year. That's where this gets complicated, Greeny.
Go ahead, Marcus.
All right, let me address both of my brothers that just talked. Dan, the reason why Debo wants to be deemed a wide receiver is obvious. Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, that's what he's looking at. And then to Jeff's point, negotiations haven't commenced. Guys, that makes it about money. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what it's about. When you are not talking to a guy that had such an impact on your offense, he was expecting to come into this offseason with San Francisco chomping at the bit to get a new contract done. And I know, look, every team is going to say with a star player, we want to get a contract done. We want to get things done. The reality is, if the business is not being handled behind closed doors, this is where you get to. And I just can't, I will never believe that if the San Francisco 49ers came to Debo Samuel and said, we want to negotiate a contract, we want to make you one of the highest paid offensive guys or wide receivers in the NFL, he's going to put out there that I want to be traded. I have never seen it happen in the NFL. This may be the first of ever, but I don't think that's the situation.
But
go, Danny, quick.
Jeff just said they haven't even commenced kind of conversations about it. The San Francisco
49ers. Damn, that's the problem.
What's the problem with it? They haven't even been given the opportunity to pay him. He's saying, I want out. No, I mean, if there was a report that they had offered him a contract and it was lowballed or whatever, and he said, you know what, I want out, I could get your point. But to Jeff's report, they haven't even come to him in regards to that. So that's why I think it is a little bit more about money or the people that he's playing with or the way he's being used.
All right, I'm up against the bottom of the hour. I have to let it go. Marcus, I'm coming back. I'm sorry, I have to hit the bottom of the hour. Danny, you're the best. Thank you. As we have to let Danny go to other things. I'm coming back to basketball.
You leave it. Love you. See you. See you tomorrow.
Marcus is watching all of this. The Nets are on the brink of elimination. And wait until you hear Kyrie Irving's reason why they are struggling so much. I was sitting next to Jalen Rose when we first heard this yesterday. He's going to react to it next. Trust me, he has a lot to say. And so does Timmy Legler. And Legs, here we go. Hembo's ready for you today. What is the only team to eliminate Kevin Durant in the first round of the playoffs? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETravel at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETravel to save 20%. We are back here on Get Up, and Tim Legler is under the spotlight. All right, Kevin Durant might get knocked out of the playoffs tonight. What's the only team to eliminate him in the first round in his whole career?
I'm going to use some deduction to try to figure this out. I have an educated guess. So it wasn't Seattle's rookie year. They weren't good enough. So it's early OKC before the finals. I'm trying to think who were good teams in the West at that time they might have seen in the first round. Lakers or Spurs come to mind. I'm going to go with the Lakers.
Oh, you got it right. That is correct. It was the Lakers in 2010. That anguish you hear from the other side of the room is Hembo.
He got me the last
hates it when they get it right. All right, well done. We will see if Durant goes out tonight, and we'll talk about it in a second. Meanwhile, let me just show you quickly how the Warriors and Nuggets played out yesterday. That was the game of the day. A great finish. Nikola Jokic and his team trying to avoid elimination and avoid being swept by Steph Curry's team. Picked us up in the fourth quarter, just over 2 minutes to go. That's Jokic to Aaron Gordon, who was fouled by Draymond Green. And for Green, that was his sixth foul. Draymond's night is over, and he reacts as only Draymond can. All right, under 2 minutes to go now. Warriors are down 3. Steph Curry they were just making that switch happen and getting him out on Jokic all game long. He got that one plus the foul, so now we're tied. And then it's Curry stepping back for the long two. Golden State had a two-point lead. Ensuing Denver possession, we got a minute 10 to play. Jokic inside. Yes, we're tied again. Golden State gets the ball back. They get a nice look for Klay Thompson legs. I can't believe this didn't go in.
Yeah, Klay Thompson is back. He had a great night, particularly the first half. Doesn't get that to go, and then Wiggins misses the tip dunk. I hate when that happens. When I used to miss those tip dunks, it was so frustrating.
And a big moment. So then Monte Morris had a bucket, so the Warriors are down two with 33 seconds left. And look at Jokic. He's out on an offense-defense switch, but he's yelling, they're going to lob it, they're going to lob it, and they do.
They did, and poor execution. The ball just not thrown high enough. Otto Porter doesn't get enough air under this thing. Austin Rivers competed well defensively. All night breaks it up.
And so then Denver gets a bucket to win it, and that's where they go. They go to Jokic. He makes the right play. That's Will Barton in the corner for the dagger three, and Denver stays alive. There will be no sweep as they wind up winning game four in what was a really good game in which both Steph and Klay scored 30 points. It's the first time in their 11 years as teammates that this team loses a game in which both of them scored 30. They had won the previous 13. So that series continues. Meanwhile, there could be a sweep tonight. The Nets down 3-0. They're at home in Brooklyn taking on the Celtics, and they've looked just candidly awful. And if you're wondering why, here's Kyrie Irving offering one explanation.
Being in a series like this with guys that, we're all just trying to gel. And usually you're gelling around the right time. And that team in the other locker room is gelling at the right time. They've been gelling since Christmas. So for us, we're just in a new experience as a group. And we just got to respect that.
All right, so I was sitting next to Jalen, the great Jalen Rose, who jumps in with us live from Detroit this morning. When we all heard that, you and Stephen A. and I were sitting together. None of us had heard him say that until they played it for us live on the air. Your reaction was strong. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, good morning, Les. Good morning, Greeny. And here's the deal. Sometimes, and this is an old saying, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are so loud. Mm. And Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant must wake up and look in the mirror today and realize something. Kyrie Irving had a chance to play with LeBron James, had a chance to play with the Boston Celtics, and he didn't want to. Kevin Durant had a chance to run with the Splash Brothers. He did. Won two championships, two finals MVPs. They wanted their own situation. They wanted to be the lead dogs. So now they have that with the Nets. And I said that on January 7th. Of this year, Legs, that the Golden State Warriors are better without KD. And people thought I was bugging. Well, how about this? The Boston Celtics clearly are better without Kyrie Irving today as well. And they were looking for love at the point guard spot. Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Dennis Schroeder, and their guy was right there in front of them. Marcus Smart. White collar is Kyrie, Greeny. Oohs and ahs. Shaking and baking, loud buckets. Blue-collar toughness is Marcus Smart. Led the team in assists, led the team in steals, defensive player of the year. That became the identity of these Boston Celtics. We're not dealing with excuses.
And you know what else he is? And I want to pick up on that thought there. He's also a leader, because when this team needed to be called out, he was the one who was willing to do it back in November, and they've turned their season around completely. And so to your previous point, when Kyrie was playing with LeBron, he didn't have to be the leader. When KD was playing with Steph Curry, he didn't have to be the leader. Now this is their own situation, and look what a mess it has become, Jalen, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
Not at all, and hindsight can always be 20-20, but you recall me saying this. I felt like if a Ben Simmons, James Harden deal was going to get done, it was best to happen in the offseason. Mm-hmm. You just haven't seen Ben Simmons play basketball since last June. He struggled when you saw him play, and we know he's dealing with a back injury because he just got a shot in his back. And for everybody that's never played sports, and Legs, correct me if I'm wrong, athletes ain't lining up to get shots. When somebody does that, that's something serious. And if he was going to play Greeny, Saturday would have been the game when they had a chance to go down 0-3. Playing tonight, yeah, it'll be good to see him in uniform on the sideline. Yes, it'll be good to see him back out on the floor. But the reality of it is, this series is over. And no matter what he did tonight, it could only have a negative impact. If he plays well, people say, well, it wasn't any pressure. What if he gets injured? There's so many things. I would love to see him out on the court, but this season is over for the Nets. And it's so very over when I see some of my favorite New Yorkers who would rather be in the Garden. Y'all know Mary J. Blige and Spike Lee rather be in the Garden. They was at the Barclays Center just trying to get some good basketball in. And now the Lakers, the LA teams, and the New York teams are both watching the playoffs as the Nets and the Knicks have the same amount of playoff wins so far this year.
That is, I mean, there's no arguing against it. Go ahead, Legs, pick it up.
You know, Ben Simmons, think about this. If he had played in game four, if he was going to play tonight, and they were to lose, he would be involved in a very strange trivia question.
Yes.
As the only player in history to play in consecutive games as his team's final game of the season.
Right.
I mean, it's just
he'd have been eliminated in consecutive games.
Exactly right. I've been saying this from the beginning. I actually said it on the air the day after game seven against the Atlanta Hawks. I said Ben Simmons will never play again in Philadelphia. I knew it then. And it had nothing to do with what Joel Embiid or Doc Rivers said at the press conference that night. It had to do with his knowledge of what he just showed that fan base, that media coverage in that market, what he showed his teammates in that locker room. He was exposed as a guy that was afraid of the moment. And he shrunk in a way that we have not seen, really. Five fourth quarters as a point guard, not taking a shot in a series like that when you're favored. So I knew it then. Now, we get into the fall, we get into the midseason. At some point, you shut it down. All talk of it for the year. Certainly, by the time you got into March and April,
Yeah. You're
going to expect a guy with all of these issues from a confidence standpoint and all of these issues that he has in terms of dealing with pressure coming back as a player under a bigger microscope than any player has been in recent memory and jump into this fray
Yeah. With
this dysfunctional offense against this team. There is no way I expected to see Ben Simmons. Now, listen, if they somehow win a couple of games, at some point he can't put off the inevitable. We're going to see Ben Simmons, but the best thing for him is to not only not play, also, how about sit somewhere near the end of the bench so Yeah. We're not talking about you during the game and what you happen to choose from a stylistic standpoint that night.
Yeah.
Just stop drawing attention to yourself.
He is correct. The outfits are extremely look at me. He wants to do everything but play in the series. Look, let me move past that for a minute here because Ben Simmons is only a small piece of the puzzle. Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players of all time. He may be the greatest pure scorer that we've ever seen in the history of the game. I've never seen a player of his magnitude be completely silenced the way he has been in this series. How do you explain it, and what does it mean?
I want to make sure I explain this the correct way by giving the Boston Celtics all of the credit. They've been the best defensive team in the NBA since January 1st. And I want to highlight Jason Tatum in particular. He's improved as a leader, as a passer, as a scorer, and as a defender. How many times do you see KD raise up a mid-range and think, no one could ever block that shot? He's 7 foot tall. Well, Jason Tatum has done it twice in this series. And also the bigs, Al Horford, Daniel Tice, they've done a terrific job. Williams, and now Time Lord, who returned. All of those bigs have done a great job of reaching, blocking, reacting, forcing KD to play in the crowd. And here's the last thing, and Legs don't appreciate this. It's messing with KD mentally that Jason Tatum giving him buckets. There was a play early in the series. I think it was game one or game two. Jason Tatum was on the right baseline. He was posting up KD. Did a turnaround jump shot on KD like he was 6'4". And I was like, oh, how about taking him off the dribble, getting to his spot and being clutch? And so I want to give the Celtics credit for frustrating KD, making him look disinterested, and having a player that could get a shot at any time, Legs, only attempt one shot in the fourth quarter. That means you tapped out.
No, he's right. I mean, and look at what Kevin Durant is seeing on that end of the floor. We've talked a lot about that, but I want to focus a little bit on Tatum. What was the last piece for Jason Tatum to be able to achieve true superstar status in this league? He had to be able to create more separation off the dribble. That was the one thing missing, right? To get into that category, Jalen, you have to be a guy that we can say this about. There's no win for the defense ever against this particular player. That's where Kevin Durant has been most of his career. LeBron has operated in that space. Jason Tatum wasn't quite there because you felt like you could still jam him up and he was going to be, you know, two dribbles this direction or two dribbles this direction. Now he has the ability to go back and forth to counter whatever you do defensively. He knows where he wants to go and he's worked on his handles to such an extent he can get anywhere he needs to on the court. The escapability factor was the last piece to add. He has added it. He has pulled up a seat to the big table. And there's no better way to do it than against this particular player. Two best offensive small forwards in the game. You're looking at a legend. You're looking at Kevin Durant dead in the eye, and you had to outplay him, and he's done it three consecutive games. Jason Tatum has arrived as a true superstar in this league.
All right, I'm going to leave it there. I wanted to get Marcus in here, but it's just all too crazy. It is unlike any situation I can ever remember. Jalen and Jacoby later today, and I will see you this weekend. Thank you, my man. Enjoy. Jalen's in Detroit with us here, the best. In the meantime, back to the NFL we will go next. With his future in limbo, Baker says hello to Oklahoma again. Will he finally say goodbye to Cleveland this week? We'll explain next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And after a tumultuous offseason for both Oklahoma and favorite son Baker Mayfield, the Sooners faithful were out there this weekend to welcome the new coach Brent Venables and to see the unveiling of Mayfield's statue in Oklahoma's Heisman Park. He, of course, won the Heisman as a Sooner a few years ago. And the statue was extremely unpopular. It was not met with great enthusiasm in the response. And here's why, is you'll take a look at we're not going to see the statue, I guess, but everyone hated it. Anyway, okay, let's go to Marcus and Jeff Darlington here as the statue is really not the important piece of this. Jeff, we are waiting for me to be able to describe Baker Mayfield as a former Cleveland Browns quarterback. When is that going to happen?
I do, by the way, think the statue is very important, and since people can't see it, we can explain to them that it looks like a 55-year-old version of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
But look, this is important. There we go. There it is.
Oh, God.
That does not look like the man standing next to him. With all due respect to the maker, I could never do it myself, but that does not look like Baker Mayfield. Anyway, look, Baker Mayfield is dealing with the situation right now where he is guaranteed $19 million to play this coming season for the Cleveland Browns. Of course, the Browns aren't going to keep him, but when they do find a new suitor, it's going to have to be with some sort of compensation on their end. They're going to have to take on some of that guaranteed money. As of now, the Browns have not done that. So once they do find their suitor, expect to see a deal where the Browns pay most of his salary for next year, with the other team picking up some of it, and then a little bit of draft compensation, but really not that much. I do still think, though, that if this is going to happen, this week would be it, or immediately after the draft next week.
So, Swagoo, your partner in crime, Dan Orlovsky, who had to run off but was with us earlier this morning, said Baker Mayfield is going to be the steal of this draft. If ultimately he is traded for a fourth or fifth round pick or something like that, that would make Mayfield the steal of the draft. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, Dan is smart. Dan knows that Baker Mayfield will be the steal of the draft because Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, and Matt Corral are projected first rounders in this draft. Mm-hmm. Let's not kid ourselves. And I know these guys are getting ready for the biggest day of their life. All of these guys would be considered third or fourth rounders if we just had the previous 2 years of mm-hmm. quarterback crops that we saw in this draft. That doesn't mean they can't be good players. Russell Wilson is going to be a Hall of Famer. He went in the third round. It has no bearing on what they will be in the NFL. And for Baker Mayfield, this is a good thing because we don't have a Trevor Lawrence. We don't have a Kyler Murray. We don't have a Justin Fields. All of those things are the reason why Baker Mayfield will have leverage going into this draft. But ultimately, G, going back to the statue, it's a culmination of every damn thing that's been happening this season for Baker Mayfield. You know what the one word to describe it is? Ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. And he got to figure out a way to make something pretty out of his next opportunity. Because ultimately, what we are talking about with Baker Mayfield, regardless of getting traded or going to another team, he's going to solely be responsible for resurrecting his career. Because if he doesn't, we will see Baker Mayfield as a backup and a guy that you cannot win with if everything is not perfect. But right now, that statue is a perfect definition of what we've been watching with Baker Mayfield since the season started.
Here's where it all went wrong, though, Marcus. Look, let's be fair. You know where it all went wrong? Because a year ago today, we were wondering whether Baker Mayfield could vault into becoming one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL after he led the woebegone Browns into the playoffs and won a playoff game. And then he got hurt. And he did what football players are supposed to do, which is he tried to play through it. And he was awful. And the reality is, if he had shut it down when he got injured and gotten the surgery, I don't think anyone would have questioned it if they said he needed to. And he would still be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns today. We wouldn't be having this conversation. And so, Marcus, it is sort of a confusing. He may not have been as good as people were making him out to be. He's nowhere near as bad as he is being positioned to be right now.
No, G, you know I've said on this show, and you and I, me and Jeff Darlington and Dan, we've all had conversations, and y'all know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. And I hate when I say it because it seems like, bro, for you to be an average quarterback in the NFL, that's pretty damn good. It's only 32 of them. I just don't think Baker Mayfield is ever going to be whatever. Listen, first of all, we wouldn't even be talking about this if he wasn't the first overall pick a few years ago. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. And his talent, he showed at Oklahoma. He showed his talent at times in Cleveland. But you know what the problem is with Baker Mayfield? And it's something Bill Parcells told me when I came into the league. And I had problems with early in my career. Inconsistency is your worst nightmare as a football player. And you cannot be that at quarterback. So hopefully, with health, he can come back next year and have a good season. A good season where he's consistent, where he shows up in some crunch time situations when his team needs him to win. I don't know what that team is going to be, G. And I don't know how Baker Mayfield is going to play. But I know this. Once Baker Mayfield gets traded, he needs to go zero dark 30 and focus on just playing QB and becoming the best version of himself. And then somebody may be cooking with grease. Because if not, we will be talking about him in regards to a guy that was a first overall draft pick that never could make it click. And I want y'all to think about this too, okay? Let's just have this conversation because everybody need to have it, damn it. And I'm gonna get up this morning so we gonna have it. Marcus Mariota, people were chomping at the bit to sign him. The Pittsburgh Steelers traded for Mitchell Trubisky, okay? We see quarterbacks that did not play football last year be more of a demand than Baker Mayfield. And I know the injury is a part of it, but none of those guys were the first pick of the NFL draft. He needs to understand where he is now and where he's trying to go, and hopefully he goes to a place that can help facilitate that. Because if you look at this landscape, it ain't pretty, G. It's like that statue. That's ugly.
It's well said. Jeff, give me the places. I mean, what are the places you have your eye on as far as the possibility of a trade?
Well, Greeny, again, though, to what Swagger was saying there, the thing that we have to remember here is that it's not necessarily the hate of other teams toward Baker Mayfield. It's about what you have to give up to get him right now. $19 million guaranteed this season and draft compensation. That's not going to happen. As soon as they come down, to your point, other teams will step up. It doesn't have to just be the Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks, two teams that need players. It could be a number of other teams. Now, the one thing I will say is that we talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers last week on this show as a possibility. I don't think the Browns are going to cut
Baker Mayfield. And I don't think they're going to trade right. him to the Steelers. So you have to look at it through that prism of reality where it's going to be a team maybe that we're not expecting, maybe like the Bucks or someone like that, to wind up with him.
Maybe it happens on the clock. We will see. Maybe we'll find out. I'm out of time, Marcus. I'd love to do it, but we have run out of time here. And I have to mention, Thursday night is the draft. I will be there for you in Vegas for ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft. Every single pick here on ESPN with all the expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network. And ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft. Our first round coverage begins Thursday, 8 Eastern. All 3 days are also available on ESPN Deportes. Man in the Arena, meanwhile, is presented by NerdWallet. The final episode debuts tomorrow night on ESPN+. Here are Tom Brady and his father talking about the process of picking a new team after 2019.
I remember something that he had said after he left New England, and it was very simple. He said, there's more to a quarterback than just how you pass the ball.
Unless you got one of the probably top few guys, you know, I would be expecting people to be interested. In my mind, I'm thinking, if you're another team and you're not interested in having me as your quarterback, like, what the wrong with you?
The much-anticipated series finale of Tom Brady's Man in the Arena drops Tuesday night, 11 Eastern. On ESPN Plus. Our action-packed April rolls on tomorrow night, highlighted by the first game of our hockey doubleheader between the Oilers and Pens. Then Thursday night, as mentioned, the first round of the draft, 8 Eastern. Friday night, NBA playoff action continues. Saturday night, the highly anticipated junior lightweight unification bout between Oscar Valdez and Shakur Stevenson, who are both undefeated. It's going to be busy. First Take is going to be busy. The Nets are on the brink. Ben Simmons is on hold. How should everybody feel about it? Plus, are the Celtics the best in the East? It's First Take. Molly, Stephen A., Jay Will, Tim Legler on the way. Top of the hour on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, great fun today. Thank you so much for getting up with us. We'll be back in Better Than Ever tomorrow, same time, same place. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. But right now, the fun and conversation continues. First Take on ESPN.